Support for Strange Fruit comes from Caperton Realty, a locally owned and operated real estate company committed to helping clients find their ideal home in Louisville and surrounding areas. Families and homes, each designed differently. Realtors and listings at CapertonRealty.com.
Hi, I'm Kyla.
And this is Jay.
And you're listening to Strange Fruit by WFPL.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Happy Pride to you all. Doc, happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
We are into June. which is National Pride Month. You know,
yes.
It's my second favorite month of the year. The first, of course, being July, because what's in July?
Your birthday.
My birthday. But I also enjoy.
Oh, you cracked up.
Hey, baby, I'll be Joe for my birthday, though.
Okay, you fell out.
But June, y'all, as you all know, if you've been listening to the show for these past couple of years, we're really excited about June. Doc, you and I are doing lots of lectures and presentations. Workshops throughout the month, and I think at this point all of them are free and open to the public, right?
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we'll do movie screenings and people got to pay to come, but this time y'all, it is absolutely free. So we'll share those with you all at the end of today's show, and then we'll remind you all throughout the month. We're going to be at the VA, right, Veterans Affairs, doing a presentation with them. We're going to be working with Yelp.com this month. We're going to be working with I'll be doing something for the Louisville Youth Group. We're doing, what else are we doing?
We're doing a talk with KMAC.
The Kentucky Museum of Arts and Crafts.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're excited. So anyway, stick around for that. But speaking of arts and crafts, Doc, you're really excited about today's guest.
I am.
Because even though your semester just ended, you got a really delightful gift from one of your former students.
I did. So this semester was just a terrible semester. I mean, it's terrible.
Poor thing.
It's probably been the most terrible.
I love you basically. Why was it terrible?
It was like pulling teeth to get students to
read.
And these are some of my favorite classes to teach. I taught Intro to LGBTQ Studies this semester. I also taught Black Lesbian Lives. Classes where students are really, really engaged.
I'm taking all your classes, and they're like usually fine.
Yeah, and then so those are some of my favorite classes, and the students, it was just like pulling teeth, and you know, I'm gonna update my syllabi and stuff like that. Like some of the stuff, I'm like, oh my god, this is so important and precious.
You're like something from 1982, and they're like, we weren't even born yet. Yeah, you know, your references be outdated and old, but still, they truly weren't reading. I would come into your classes, they were not reading,
and they weren't engaged. Like they didn't even like talk about their mama, their auntie, which is completely allowed and
experiential,
you know,
knowledge.
Yeah, bringing their experiences and life experiences in the classroom, they just didn't have. I mean, they just were. Ugh.
Okay.
So at the end of the semester, I'm putting in grades. I go to my office. And I look in my mailbox, and there's this beautiful box, and it says the homegirl box. And I'm like, oh, my God. First of all, it's, like, brightly colored and beautiful. I open it up, and it has all this Audre Lorde stuff in it. It had a tote. It had a card from Audre Lorde. It had a quote about Audre Lorde. And I was just like, I almost started crying. And my former student, Madeline McCubbins, who actually just graduated this past semester. Congratulations.
Yay, okay, Madeline. Yes.
And she sent it to me.
I think I always call her Madeline.
I know, you always do.
I always try to, like,
why do you call her
like Europeanized names, like Madeline. Or,
it's like, no.
But it's just Madeline. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just Jason.
Okay, yes. And so, you know, she sent it to me and ordered it for me and said that she had met one of the founders
yes.
of the Homegirl box at a conference she was recently at. She loved it. She thought of me when she saw the Audre
yes.
box and sent it to me, just thanking me for supporting her while she was in school and, you know, writing letters for her, so on and so forth. It made my day. It made my
entire
semester.
The box was a perfect fit. I mean, I saw it. It was a perfect fit for you.
The
Audre Lorde chaired, obviously, but, I mean, Audre Lorde is one of the people who inspires
yes.
me, but it was a perfect fit. So you were like, Jay, we have got to get the co-creator of the Homegirl box.
It's such a wonderful idea. And
I'm going to start crying.
Well, I'm not crying, girl. I'm saying that.
Yeah, you're really excited.
Yes.
So we had to figure out what was the inspiration behind the concept of,
yes.
of the Homegirl box and what they seek to achieve. So listeners, please welcome to the show one of the creators of the Homegirl box, Brittany Brathwaite.
Yay.
Brittany, did I say your last name correctly?
You totally said my last name correctly.
And I'm gonna let you on to a little secret. So I'm here in my laptop, and I went to like YouTube, and I was like, okay, like how do you pronounce this name? And so it gave me like a little. I'm gonna let you listen, listeners. This is what I did.
Brathwaite.
So I played it like 100 times, and so thank you, job well done to me, Brittany.
Okay,
welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, listen,
so
thank you for
thank
you for creating this box. But let's go to the very beginning. Tell our listeners, now the Homegirl box, you all have, as Doc mentioned, she got the Audre Lorde box. You also have like an Angela Davis box. Just this month, you're premiering your brand new Sylvia Rivera box. But you describe your boxes as a gift box that is inspired by the life and legacy of bold and visionary women of color. Talk to us a bit about the boxes. how you and your co-creator came up with the concept of creating these boxes just for homegirls and why it's important to share homegirl love.
Yeah. So Nikki, my co-founder, and I, we worked together at we did girls programming for young women and organizing in New York City for a while together. And it was around our, I think it was like our 25th birthday. We were sitting down and we're like, what do we want for like the world? Or what do we want for this work? And we both were like, you know, I want to be seen. I want to be felt. I want to be heard. I want to be appreciated. And I think so much work that, whether it's like activist work on the front lines, movement work, academic work, nonprofit work goes so unnoticed. And, you know, day to day, you're fighting to like uplift the lives of so many people. And you know, whether it's our ancestors or like people in our everyday lives, our everyday heroes and heroes. And your work, you know, obviously is you're doing it, but you're not, it's not always seen. And not everyone is like, hey, like, great job for that, you know, that march you just led or even that email you just sent. And so part of it was like we wanted to let our sisters and our siblings know that they were seen and they were felt and that they were appreciated, and also to remind them that there are people out there that are bold and visionary whose stories are sometimes told but not completely, and we wanted to gift that to people. And so that was the idea behind, you know, the original idea around the Homegirl Box. And then the second part became like we also wanted to uplift the work of women of color and women creators and non-performing and non-binary people. Like, what is their work that they're creating every day that may or may not be seen? And so in thinking about, like, there are lots of subscriptions back then when we first thought of it in, like, 2015, 16, back then there were, like, people just getting into the subscription box game. So there was, like, the curl box. You could buy, you know, you could get all these things for your hair or you can get things from your pet. But there wasn't really, like, a feminist or activist box out there. And we wanted to really, like, put that to work. There was even, you know, Black-owned boxes that were curated from different Black-owned businesses. But we wanted to know what it would look like if we, you know, only curated from women-owned or non-binary-owned businesses. And so that was like the model. So we were like, we're going to search out, you know, all of these folks that make things around this particular person, and especially naming the box after someone. So we, you know, we went back around themes, like, could we do a theme? Could this be like the fierce box? Or could this be like when Beyonce came out with Formation? Is this Formation box? But we really stuck to like celebrating a different woman in every box. And so that's where the idea comes from. And we've had lots of, we're on our sixth box now. So it's kind of funny to like look back when we first started thinking about this and now know that we're about to like release our sixth box.
Oh my God. That's just wonderful. And I love the website. I love the box. How do y'all decide what goes in each box? And then name some of the boxes. You said you guys you're on your sixth box. So name some of the boxes y'all have. And how y'all decide what goes in each box?
Yeah, so our past boxes were, our first box was our Frida Kahlo box, and then we did an Assata Shakur box, that was our second box, and then last summer we did a Cardi B box, but that was before people were, like, really hip to Cardi and, like, before her album dropped, and we noticed some interesting things because we were out here talking about, it was, like, a sex-positive box for real, like, we had condoms, we had... I don't know if I could curse, but we had
Go for it. What do I have?
we had some fuckboy repellent, which is like this glitter spray that repels the fuckboys.
Oh my God, I love that.
It was a super like affirming and out there box, like in your face. And surprisingly, at first it didn't do really well, and we were like, oh y'all, like I thought we were so much further on this. But yeah, so we've done like we did a Cardi B box, we did the Audre Lorde box, which is the one that you received, Kayla. And we did the Angela box, which is our March box, and now we're going into our Sylvia Rivera box. We have a curation process that usually takes about a month to 2 months to getting like who we want to be in the box. I have a list of people that I love to like shop from. I feel like I spend most of my check on crew necks and t-shirts and lapel pins. When people start making like movement or activist inspired jeans that come in a plus size, I'm gonna get them.
Yes.
But I like me and both Nikki and I spend a lot of time like going through Etsy or different like t-shirt campaigns, like collecting and curating like our own personal wardrobes. And so when we first started out, it wasn't that big of a stretch because we were like, we know everybody who makes a Frida thing, or we know everybody who know who, you know, we know these five people who make something around Asada. But then as we started like going through the items, like for example, every box has a like a personal care item or like a cosmetic item. And I'll take the Asada box. So we were like, what kind of like, what is Asada doing for like her skin? we didn't really know. We couldn't really hit her up in Cuba. And so we worked with a shea butter company to make a shea butter called The Revolution Will Be Moisturized. And so sometimes we get a little creative and like, well, I imagine that Asada Shakur got really nice skin and she out here glowing. And so going from yes. this imagination piece to like, we're going to work with someone who makes shea butter to giving it a name, because I don't think the revolution would ever be ashy. creating an item. So sometimes it's like the curation is that we know people who are already creating yeah. items that are inspired by these folks. And sometimes it's like, your artwork is dope. So we hire artists to create the artwork, and yeah. we work with a local, here in Brooklyn, we work with a local owned like t-shirt company to print the shirt. And so sometimes it's a mixture of things. So some people already are making the stuff, and sometimes we have to like, we have to create it, and like, you know, but we don't put any of the items, like we never make anything besides the Her Story card, which tells about the life and legacy of the woman being celebrated. We try not to like create any item by ourselves. So every box is with an artist or with a creator outside of the home box, even if it's in collaboration.
Yeah. Now I know that your boxes right now are selling. Now this is just to be clear for our listeners, right now you're not really offering, if I understand, a subscription service. So you have to buy each box individually. So you don't necessarily subscribe yeah. and get a new box every month. You purchase each one individually. The boxes right now are selling for $60. But you charge that price because some people, they may say, well, why are you charging so much? But you all are committed to making sure that you pay the creator, the content creators, an equitable, fair price, right? Yes. For their, so yes. it's not just like y'all ain't sitting home trying to get rich like you know, iPhone.
Nah, I haven't seen a check from the homegirl box yet.
Yeah.
It's truly a labor of love on our side. So when I did like a lot of the background research on like subscription box as a model, because it follows the subscription box, but it's a gift box because you only purchase it once. And a lot of subscription boxes, you know, the idea is sometimes people buy wholesale, but a lot of times people are like, can I get a sample of your item? And, you know, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to promo you.
Yeah.
When we started, we have, like, 7 followers. They were all our friends. Like, I'm going to promo you to my 7 friends. Okay.
Yeah.
But really believing that, like, our labor, especially black and brown labor, like, should be paid. Like, we've already done enough free work and labor. And so it is a founding principle of the Homegirl Box that we pay our creators. And so when people are like, the box is $50, and I'm like, and everybody who created something in this box is paid for their labor and the materials. And so that's a big piece for us, that when we created the Audre Lorde box, the tote bag in the box, one thing that we didn't know about tote bags is that there's so many tote bags that are being created inside of prisons. Like, you will have a wholesale company, and it's called, like, Justice Works Institute something. Yo, it's a jail. And that's where the tote bag is being made. So we ended up, like, having a pretty, like, high... like, just not the artwork or anything, just the tote bag itself, to make sure that the tote bag was not manufactured in a prison. And so, like, you know, there's a cost to being, you know, ethical and really believing about folks and whether or not they're paid for their labor. But we are going to go, there's no way we could be celebrating, like, Angela Davis or Audre Lorde and then have, like, tote bags manufactured in a prison. And so, yeah, that's the cost.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because I know a lot of people here in Louisville who are trying to launch their own this or that, their own T-shirt line or their own cosmetics line, and oftentimes those prices are a bit more than you might pay at your neighborhood, yep. you know, mm-hmm. big box market, and yep. I think that as consumers we get so used to the value menu, right? The, you know, where the dollar menu at? You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Those companies with the dollar menu are also bringing the computers to replace their workers, right? They're not having fair wages, fair labor practices. Right. And so I think it is important for us as consumers, especially black and brown people, queer people, you know, women trying to support folk, like, that, you know, when we are mom and pop businesses or individuals, you know, we're not getting access to, you know, all the cheap labor and all the kind of, you know, the mass produced.
And we're not recognizing how things become commodified and how exploitive the commodification process is. So to get something that's quote unquote cheap or reasonable or kind of free really is at the expense of primarily women and children, primarily women and children of color. Certainly. I mean, all over the world.
And I love that y'all not doing like the whole like, you know, let me hold 100 lipstick samples and I'll somehow give you a shout out on Twitter, because people do that. And I get the notion of like, you know, bartering and fair trade, you know, and that happens on an individual basis. But I appreciate that you all are like, yo, we're not even going to try to do y'all that way where you basically give us something for free. Because I do think that far too often our labor goes overlooked. Before we let you go, please tell our listeners what you all's social media handles are, how they can access your website to purchase a box and find out more information.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so we're The Homegirl Box on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you can visit www.thehomegirlbox.com to purchase boxes. Right now, we have the Audrey box on sale. We also have the Angela box on sale. And Friday at midnight Eastern Standard Time, the Sylvia Rivera box will give you.
Yay! All right. Hey, listeners, y'all, this has been Brittany. Brittany's the co-creator of the Homegirl Box. The Homegirl Box provides small acts of love for the revolution. Brittany, thank you so much. And take care. Keep in touch. We wish y'all the best of luck.
Thank you, Jason and Kayla.
Bye-bye. Thanks, baby. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. I love it. All right, Doc, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some hot topics and talk about, we have an update for the story from last week about the white dude who got sued by his parents' child.
Yes.
But let the people know who we are.
You're listening to Strange Fruit by WFPL.
You hear our stories every day on WFPL.
I'm Ryan Van Belzer.
I'm Ashley Stevens.
I'm Roxanne Scott in Louisville. But there's always more to talk about.
One of the big things that I thought was interesting but just didn't make it into the story.
That's what you'll get on Recut, a new podcast from WFPL News.
He told me that no one wanted to talk to me on the record. I don't know how I feel about that.
Through my reporting, I learned that there's a lot more to it than that.
Recut, a behind-the-news podcast, every Tuesday and Thursday starting June 12th from Louisville Public Media.
Welcome back. You're listening to Strange Fruit by WFPL.
So I mentioned that we have an update for our listeners regarding the story last week of the 30-year-old man who refused to move out of his parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
He put his foot down and said, you know, I am your, you know, you all gave birth to me and I deserve to be here for as long as it takes.
He was like, I'm not ready.
His parents even offered him money. They offered him $1,100 to get out. He said he needs more time. He took the money they gave him. First of all, they gave him $1,100. He took the money they gave him.
Oh, okay.
But he spent it on other stuff, right? He had other stuff that was more important.
What?
That's what the man said. There was more stuff that was more important. And so, you know, anyway, so there's been an update.
Okay.
A judge ruled that he's got to go. Okay, that's the update. So congratulations to the parents.
Okay.
But there was something that upset you about the whole situation.
Yes.
He got a job offer.
Yes, he did. From a restaurant.
The restaurant is called Villa Italian Kitchen.
Yes.
And they think that his name, by the way, is Rotondo. They think that Mr. Rotondo may make a good addition to their team. They posted on their social media, hey, Rotondo, we got a job for you, brother. Come on.
Yeah, we have a job for you. And
not only do we have a job for you,
but we're going to give you that money.
A signing bonus.
Yes.
They said, we will give you $1,101 as a signing bonus, because we're gonna give you more money than your parents gave you.
Yes.
They said, we know it's harder here for a pimp. You know, we will give you $1,101 as a signing bonus. You think you make a good addition to our team? And so you made the case that only in a world where white mediocrity and white supremacy rule do you get rewarded for basically being chefless and sending your parents' house.
I mean, that there's just doesn't seem to be any evaluation of him as shiftless, lazy, unmotivated. There's no conversations about lack of ambition or even any kind of accusatory conversations around the parents themselves. Like, you know, you've raised this son his entire life and he's lived with y'all. Why now? Like, why now does he all of a sudden have to get out? Why did he basically shirk the responsibility of moving out before you had to take him to court? I mean, you had to literally take him to court for him to mind your words. So there's all kinds of conversations that can happen that seem like should have happened, right, around this case. And yet and still, none of those have happened. And I think it has everything to do with him being straight, white, cis, male.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it has everything to do with that. I think it has to do with his parents being straight and white and cis. You know, I'm not sure what their median income is or what, you know, but there just doesn't seem to be any of those conversations happening. I mean, he's getting job offers, a signing bonus, and nobody's seen him as, you know, like, in fact, the restaurant guy, he's like, it's hard out here for millennials. So,
yeah.
You know,
and just to be clear.
I'm like, what? So if this was Two black parents, even if they were middle class, even if they were straight and cis, and a black child, right, who was 30, and let's say that they were straight and cis. Do you think there'll be offers for sign-in bonuses and all of this kind of petty, tongue-in-cheek, back-and-forth conversation between business and the parents? No, absolutely not.
Yeah. And just to be clear, there probably was some tongue-in-cheek humor involved in this offer of a signing bonus. But,
I think so.
But I'm sure if he took the job, they would give it to him. I mean, they're not going to, you know, I'm sure they probably made the offer knowing that the boy's not going to come work for them, right?
I mean, and part and of it's it is drumming up publicity.
Shameless plug. Yeah. But if he took him up on the offer, because this chain apparently has a bunch of locations throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt if he took the job, I mean, they'd be obligated to give him the sign of bonus. But so I'm sure that part of it, y'all, was in jest, like, you know, let's capitalize off this off the situation. But I'm sure that if he had taken the job, he would have gotten the bonus. So anyway, he goes to court. The judge decided, y'all, the judge heard the case for just a mere 30 minutes before making his decision. The judge said, yeah, buddy, it's time for you to get going. Michael, though, presented his own evidence. He brought his own Google research doc, and he said that, you know, based on his legal research from Google, that he had 6 months, you know, before he had to leave.
Okay, what?
You know, different states have different processes, you know, when it comes to eviction and things of that nature. But anyway, so he's arguing that, you know, well, I don't know if he said I'm a squatter's rights or whatever, but he says I have 6 months, you know, from, I guess, maybe from the date of this eviction to get out. The judge said, you know, good job on your research, homeboy. I apologize for doing your research, but no, you're incorrect. And that family members don't get special treatment. So if he had been perhaps a standard tenant, he might have gotten that extra 6 months. But because you're a family member, you don't get any kind of special, some kind of special treatment. And so there was a back and forth between the defendant and the judge. But ultimately,
is he getting bucked with the judge?
Well, the judge said, the judge told Michael Rotondo that his demand for 6 more months was quote unquote outrageous. And Rotondo said back that he thinks the judge's decision was outrageous. So again,
America,
do you get to sit here and argue back and forth with the judge and tell them they're outrageous and not be held in contempt of court.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he had the nerve to get cute with the judge, right? Because during the court process, the parents reveal letters where they have demonstrated, like Michael, you need to, you know, sell your stereo, sell your tools, sell your guns. And they even say that there are jobs available for people with a poor work history like you. And so, you know, so the judge, I guess, is interrogating the defendant about, like, what do you do? How do you help out? Do you have money? And so he says he does his own laundry, he provides his own food, and he has his own business. So the judge is like, okay, well, talk to me about your business. And he says, my business is my business. Okay, so, you know, he has some kind of...
I mean, he might as well say, you know, what is that phrase that you always say? In my skin, drinking gin?
When I jump out, you jump in. Yeah, like somebody say, where are you going?
Okay.
Somebody said, where you at? Red fish, blue fish. Yeah, by the way, somebody says, where you at? You say, in my skin, drinking gin. When I jump out, you jump in. But no.
Okay.
So anyway, he gets bugged with the judge. Anyway, long story short, he has now... officially been given the boot. I don't know if he's still like on this day residing.
I love minding my business.
Yeah, but he said my business is my business. He's just the judge. So
wow.
That's now you understand magic. Why I really enjoyed. You know, we spend a lot of time together, our daytime together. I always watch the People's Court, right?
Yes.
And Judge Mathis and Judge Joe Brown because they really are cut up, right? And so I thought that was hyperbole. Like people don't really act like this when they go to a court of law, but. I'm sure you can probably attest, well, you probably haven't seen because you really didn't get any action.
I'm not.
In the course of your journey, you didn't get any action at all.
Okay.
Basically, but you probably would have gotten to see, had you gotten a call, you probably would have gotten to see that.
Okay.
That's how people really do act in court. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting update that our people deserve to hear about. What else is making headlines? It's been a boring week in Hollywood news, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's like such a snooze. There's nothing really.
Except Roseanne.
Okay.
Of course. I feel like we've talked about Roseanne on our show.
Well, we talked about
in the last couple of months,
we talked about the reboot.
We talked about the reboot
and talked about how her affiliation and association.
I hope we said good stuff. Like, I hate for our listeners to go back and listen. We're like, oh, we love the reboot. We love Roseanne.
We didn't do all that. We did not use ourselves.
Okay, good.
So, no, we were just talking about how it was up and coming and it was soon to be. But her close affiliation and affirmation of 45.
Yeah, because we're talking about her throwing shade to black people and blackish.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it has come to fruition that she really has done the absolute most.
Mm-hmm.
She was going on a Twitter tirade about Muslims and about immigration, you know, everything basically. And so, but the final straw seemed to be that Valerie Jarrett, who was a former advisor to our president for life, Barack Obama.
Okay.
President Obama, she was a former advisor to President Obama. Well, she basically likened this woman to an ape.
Mm-hmm.
She said that this woman looked like a mix between the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. Okay, so we've talked about this before on the show. I think we specifically about people saying I had no idea that it was racist to equate black people to animals.
I know.
In particular, apes and monkeys.
Yes.
So anyway, she called this woman an ape. It wasn't probably child a couple hours later that ABC was like, you get the boot.
Bye-bye.
Wanda Sykes, who was one of the kind of executive producers or consultants, said, I'm not going back to the show.
Yeah, she was writing some of the jokes. But
she was mostly a producer. And she said, I'm not coming back to the show. And then shortly thereafter, the ABC network canceled Roseanne. Now, it's noteworthy that Roseanne was actually the highest rated show on the ABC network right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually renewed for a second season, I think probably by the time the second episode aired. So, there are a lot of times that networks will make concessions and give a lot of leeway to shows because they're extremely popular, right? We saw that with 3 and a Half Men when the lead dude was getting buck, right? And he was with the Charlie Sheen on 3 and a Half Men. He was getting buck and he was hashtag winning and he was, just really,
He
had a really good response to Roseanne. Did you see his response to Roseanne?
No, I didn't see it, but most of my posts, ever since he did it, because he was so, I think he was high as a kite or zooted.
And
he was zooted and high as a kite one day when he was getting interviewed. He kept saying to the reporter, winning.
Yeah.
Winning. Winning. And so, every time I post stuff, I'm like, winning.
Yeah, you told me that.
Oh, my God, it's so funny to me.
But that's a great example of
but he was getting buff.
And then there's a new case of the TV show, the Lethal Weapon remake that has, Damon Wayans. And the white dude on that show, who was the co-lead, was getting buck. And so their characters end up getting killed off or replaced. And you just bring in somebody else, right? So if a show does really well, the network would usually figure out a way to bring someone else in or keep the show going. But I think it's really telling in this case. The show's named after Roseanne, but just like Kevin Spacey in the House of Cards, right?
Hey.
He's a preeminent character. They figured out a way. Jeffrey Tambor and Transparent, right? They would figure out a way to get rid of you to keep the show going.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what Roseanne did was so offensive and so blatantly offensive, and because she's been such a polarizing character, they simply said, this show was canceled. By Darlene, by Becky, by
okay.
Dan,
hey.
As I said on my Twitter, y'all, I still jig with Aunt Jackie,
yes.
But goodbye to the rest of them.
And I just felt like Sarah Gilbert, she was getting bucked. In her response, her response was bucked. And I just feel like it was,
because what she was
shortly thereafter, by 1:21 on the 29th, she basically said, this is incredibly sad and difficult for all of us as we've created a show that we believe in and are proud of and that audience members love, one that is separate and apart from the opinions and words of one cast member. So I'm like, okay, first of all, the show is called Roseanne.
Yeah.
So it'd be one thing if it was called the Connor family. Even Aunt Jackie,
Or if it had been a secondary character who had made these comments to the post of the lead
Roseanne
character.
Is the crux.
There really was no way out.
I mean, there's no way out. And I do think that it's really, really disingenuous of Sarah Gilbert to try and make it seem as if there is even a possibility of severing Roseanne's personal beliefs that she tweets about while the show is going on, while the show is taping, even in the interim before the reboot, right? So she was getting bucked with the dressing up like Hitler, and so Roseanne's always gotten bucked. I mean, she did the rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, and she spit on the ground, and again, this idea that one can be severed from the other is disingenuous at best.
Yeah, because usually, I remember Walker, Texas Ranger,
unaware.
We didn't know he was getting bucked until after his show went off the air. So most of the time, it's after the,
And again, when Roseanne first goes off the air as a regular show, there wasn't social networking. So a lot of her stuff came to light when there was conversations around the reboot, right? So social networking wasn't really a part of the culture when it came to the show first being on the air. So, I just think it's disingenuous at best and just a blatant lie and blindness, to say, let's just have one without the other. And we worked hard. And it's obviously Roseanne didn't care about y'all.
But, Doc,
y'all's check.
That Roseanne is saying that the reason that she went on this racist tirade is because she was taking a sleeping medication. She's blamed her on Ambien.
I know, which is a no.
It helps people sleep, right?
Yeah, Ambien is just one of the sleep aids to help people who...
But people, I feel like, have been claiming, because you watch a lot of that ID Investigate stuff, don't people often claim that they, basically commit murder because they were taking some sleeping pills? Do people try to blame stuff on sleeping pills a lot?
No, in fact, nobody really... does
no
all
one really
that.
Buys that.
No, nobody really buys that. I mean, people will blame it on real drugs, like, you know, heroin, cocaine. Oh, I mean, yeah, like real, but not like no sleep aid or Advil PM or, you know? And so it's like, girl, don't even try that. And you know, but they gagged her. They gagged her for real because not only did they cancel her show that had already been renewed.
Yes.
They basically, all her syndicated episodes, CMT, TNT.
Hulu, and she's been pulled off.
Pulled off. All the old episodes
of
her.
Her management companies represent her.
They threw up nice ones, too. They were like, peace out.
Yeah.
So,
but I was going to say, Doctor, the makers of Ambien were like, don't put this on us. They tweeted.
Oh, yeah, they got bucked.
They
Ambien.
Tweeted earlier this week. They said, quote, this is from Sanofi US, which makes Ambien. They say, people of all races, religions, and nationalities work at Sanofi every day to improve the lives of people around the world. While all pharmaceutical treatments have side effects, racism is not a known side effect of any Sanofi medication. So like, oh, don't put that on us, Roseanne.
My God, because it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So
it's ridiculous.
Roseanne,
and it was just so audacious and reeks of white unawareness and white privilege, and the fact that you had a black woman producer, Wanda Sykes, you had a black president of a network,
of ABC,
that you thought was basically going to let this pass. So black women write your content and sign your checks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. And you're going to compare a black woman to an ape? Girl, we got you.
Yeah, hashtag bye-bye. Cancel. Hashtag cancel.
Okay, bye-bye.
Doc, the last thing I want to get your opinion on. Well, first I want to ask you this. Based on our conversation earlier with Brittany from the Homegirl Box,
okay,
she mentioned the boxes they've had. They've done Frida Kahlo, Asada Shakur, Cardi B, Enzo Davis, Audre Lorde, Tia Rivera. If you were going to design your own Homegirl Box, I bet I probably know the answer to this question. I don't even know why I'm asking it. Listeners, y'all probably know as well. But surprise me. Who would be the inspiration for your Homegirl Box?
Beyonce.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say it louder.
Beyonce.
Of course, Beyonce. Okay.
But I can see Britney and them. I can see Britney and them doing a Beyonce box. Because even on Britney's web page, like, she talks about her love for Bae. So I hope there's a Beyonce box on the horizon. I also hope there's a Riri box, because I feel would be pure.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just somebody, Michelle Obama.
A Michelle Obama box.
A Michelle Obama box would be the best.
Yeah.
Any kind of like past. I would love a Zordon Hurston box. Yeah. I would love a.
I mean, there's so many places one could go with.
Oh
this,
yeah, it's
with,
so
with
wonderful. That's why I just think it's just so great. I mean, you know, like a Gloria Naylor box. She wrote Bailey's Cafe, Women of Brewster Place. Just there's so many wondrous black women, you know, writers, activists. You know, who have basically inspired us. We walk in their legacy. I mean, there's just so many people you can think of.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would be in your box?
You know, I don't know.
Well, not in your box, but.
Okay. I mean, first of all, I don't have a box. I have a penis. No. I'm just like, no.
It's like, girl.
No, just wait. No, I don't know. I don't know who would be in my box or my box is, because I love all the people that you just named, people that have already been covered. For me, it probably would be.
You wouldn't do a James Baldwin box because you've been living
for him. Would that be a homegirl or would it be like a home? You know, and again, I don't want to make it a homeboy box.
Of course, I
would do, you know, I could do a black queer box, and of course it would have Essex, Hemphill, it would have.
Rustin.
Byron Rustin would have a Marlon Riggs child. I mean, again, Langston Hughes, you know, Kelsey Collins. So, yeah, I mean, I love that ocean, and maybe. You know, maybe that they will inspire someone to do a box for queer men in particular or queer people. Yeah. So again, but I think I don't know what phenomenal woman I would pick because they're maybe. No, you know, I would do a Nikki Giovanni box because I think the Nikki Giovanni child
is
filled with her poetry, and she has so much, you know, so many poems that talk
she
about
does.
Other things. So that would be really
she
cool.
Does. You love Nikki Giovanni.
We're almost out of time, Doc, but there's one last story I want to get your opinion on.
Okay.
McDonald's, right? They have a customer who is suing them. I think there are actually two customers who are suing them for $5 million because they say there is unwanted cheese on their quarter pounder with cheese. So let me explain for you. Okay, so you know you go to McDonald's. So they say that once upon a time you go to McDonald's and if you get a quarter, you get a quarter pounder.
Okay.
Or you get a quarter pounder with cheese, right?
Mm.
And that the quarter pounder with cheese might cost you a quarter more than the regular quarter pounder without cheese. They're saying that now McDonald's only has an option for a quarter pounder with cheese. And even if you say no cheese, you still pay the same price. And they feel like that is unfair. They feel like once upon a time, it costs more for cheese. If I don't get the cheese, it should cost me less. And they feel like that is worthy of, I don't know if they want to do a class action, but they feel like that McDonald's, you are overcharging your customers. If people say no cheese, they should get a 10-cent, 20-cent break. And so they're suing McDonald's for $5 million.
No.
No, you don't feel like...
I just feel like that is ridiculous. My thing is, like,
do you think they have too much time on their hand? Do you feel like this
way
is
way too much time? And my thing is, clearly y'all got some money if you're gonna like file suit and get an attorney and write up briefs for y'all and work with a law firm. I mean, it's like a child to get out of here with that.
Yeah,
that's no.
They say they've suffered injury as a result of their purchases because they were overcharged and they were required to pay for the cheese, which is not a component of either a quarter pounder or a double quarter pounder.
No,
they don't want the cheese.
No,
and they did not receive the cheese, but they still had to pay for the cheese.
Leave me alone.
Listeners, this is we give y'all the hard facts on Strange Fruit. Listen, we are not
Leave
just here
me alone.
For your entertainment. We are also here for your education. And
Stop.
So we promise you all, as we always do, we will give y'all an update. We let y'all know what happened with the boy in his parents' basement. You know, we let y'all know what happened with Roseanne. We will let you all know the case that comes out of Miami of the quarter pounder and the cheese, okay? So,
it's just like, no.
We'll let y'all know.
Well, before we go.
Okay.
We were going to mention some of the events
that are coming up.
Okay, because there's so many events coming up.
We're Kelly Price booked.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay, don't get mad. It's like...
I don't know what that reference is from.
Why did I say that?
What is that reference?
I don't know. I felt like... Remember that one catfish episode where the cousin... With the
That's a different... So my reference was Kelly Price book came from Hollywood Divas.
Okay.
R&B Divas, when they were doing a stage play and they wanted Kelly Price to be a part of the stage play, and she said, I can't do it because I'm booked. And so like to be Kelly Price booked, it's like, because they were like, well,
okay,
you know,
it's booked, booked, booked,
like,
booked, booked. Okay, I'm booked.
So she's
I
Kelly
can't
Price
do
booked.
It.
You're thinking of the episode of Catfish where the girl.
Catfish
her male cousin as a gay dude.
Yes.
And then he discovers his cousin and he says, why'd you catfish me? She said, because you called me a fat ass Kelly Price.
No, a fake ass Kelly
no,
Price.
No, fat ass. She said fat ass. She said, you never should have called me a fat ass Kelly Price.
Yeah, and so, yeah. So
that's a whole different
thing.
So
when he ran away, he was, you know, she said, don't get mad.
Yeah, she's, but, okay, but.
Okay,
yeah, but
I mean,
that,
talk
I
about,
I
talk about I obscure. Okay,
yeah, I didn't get that reference, and so please don't do that again. Don't do that again.
Okay, so I wish to not speak about that. Okay. Okay, yes.
Y'all, clearly we're tripping. Let's go. But we're going to be at Play Louisville.
We're going to be at Play Louisville, which is 1101 East Washington Street.
Okay,
and that'll be Wednesday, June 6th.
We're doing that with Yelp.com, right?
Yeah.
And
it's called Connecting Things Louisville. And it's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Chris Hartman, friend of the show, director of the Fairness Campaign, is actually going to be moderating that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be us and some good folks who are going to be talking.
About moving and shaking in Louisville as black queer people for Pride Month.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So that is one of our events coming up. Then actually that Thursday, we are giving a lecture on Muhammad Ali's core principles as embodied by LGBT
key
folks
figures,
of color.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be Thursday, June 7th, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and both of these are free and open to the public.
Yeah, that's going
to
be at the Kentucky Museum of Arts and Crafts in downtown Louisville.
In downtown Louisville.
Okay.
So that is, and then the next event we have is called Y'all Better Quiet Down.
No, we're actually going to be doing an event at the VA Pride.
Oh, yes.
The
Veterans
Affairs Pride
that's
Festival.
That's Friday.
That's Friday. So we're going to be somewhere Wednesday,
8th.
Thursday, and Friday, yeah.
June 8th,
And
yes.
So for details on that, you can actually go to Facebook and look for the... Louisville VA Hospital and find the details on that program.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll give them more updates as the month goes on.
Yeah, because
later in the
all
month.
Of our events at the Speed are also coming up.
Yeah,
we have
we'll be
three
at the Speed
separate
Museum.
Events there.
Yeah.
And those are like late June.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
That is all for now, dear listeners. As we mentioned, happy Pride Month. We'll be bringing you the gayest stories that exist, I suppose. Yeah, I know we always do a little bit of reminiscing during June. You know, we'll probably have some kind of list. You know, I love lists. We'll have some kind of list of, like, top moments in queer, this and that. So until next time, Doc, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Strange Fruit is produced by Louisville Public Media. Our producer is Laura Ellis.
For more information, visit strangefruitpod.org, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at @strangefruitpod.
The views expressed on Strange Fruit do not reflect those of LPM, its staff, or its underwriters.
Our executive producers are me, Jason Gardner.
And me, Kyla Story.
Thanks for listening.